meeting of Tuesday, September 14, 2021, ordered. Before I ask for changes in approval of the agenda, I will note that there is a very different look to our agenda. Council had met to discuss how we could better serve ourselves and the public through, with our council meetings, and enable more public input and discussion. So what you see before you is a process we're going to undergo and see how it works, and this will require some official changes to our policies and procedures as we move forward. But for now, we're going to work with this. So members of our public, you'll notice that as we go through, we come to section 6, which simply says recommendations. And those are recommendations that in the future will have come from discussions, which will allow council time to have more debate and then refer matters to come forward for recommendations. Item number 7, we'll see discussion points. These will be matters that will be deemed to be debatable. I mean, everything's debatable, but these are matters that councillors feel require more thought, allow more input, and not be voted on immediately. The discussion items will come with either they'll come with 3 recommendations or motions. Those discussion items will either be referred to the next meeting for a motion. They will be deferred to the next meeting as a discussion point, so they'll go back under discussion, or they will be deferred to, say, an ad hoc committee, such as we did with the noise bylaw committee. I suspect that will not be often, and most of those discussions will either be deferred to the next meeting to go back on discussion, or referred to the next meeting. And on your desk, you have your crib notes, just to keep us in mind of how they work. And with recommendations, simply as in the past, those recommendations, the motions could either be made, or again, they could be deferred back, or deferred to another body. So that is our new way of running our council meetings. And as a body, we are able to create our own system. So we're optimistic that this system will work. So that's all we'll say on that. 2, changes in approval of the agenda. Are there any changes or approvals to be made to the agenda? Hearing none, I'll ask for a motion. Moved by Councillor Gidney, seconded by Councillor Brown, that the motion, that the agenda be approved as presented. All those in favor? Contrary? Passed. Are there any petitions to table today? Public question comment session. I remind anyone that wishes to comment to please give their name and their civic address, and we allow a maximum of 5 minutes for comments.
Yes, Leon Robertson, College Street, Liverpool. I guess you stole my thunder there with respect to the discussions there and how that's going to work. That means that those discussions, they could come back to the next council meeting, but they wouldn't come to a before the council meeting today.
Not as a motion.
Not as a motion. No. It would have to. No, make sure that becomes next week. Okay? The other item I had there is under 6.2, the purchase of the new, I assume it's a dump truck there, and it's a 2009. That's 12 years old, and we're still paying $60,000. I guess those things are pretty expensive. Any comment?
No. Other than, as you can see in the report, staff were very pleased with this. Buying a new one is impossible, but Director Grant will else wish to comment? 5.0, 5.1, approval of the council meeting minutes of August 10th. Councilor Brown has moved approval of the minutes, seconded by Councilor Hawks. All those in favor? Pass. 6.1, Director Grant, purchase of a chassis cab, which was budgeted for this year. First, we'll have a motion. Councilor Muse?
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the purchase of a 2021 4x4 14,000-pound chassis cab from Motion Motors at a price of $58,517.70 plus HST.
Seconded by Councilor Charlton. Director Grant?
Yeah, so you see, we're looking to buy another truck to replace an older member of our fleet, which has certainly survived its usable lifespan. The other truck will be taken off the road and be salvaged for parts and scrap metal. So we sent out for three suppliers in the area, the only three that can supply this piece of equipment. We got one response. The other two advised that they could, the one company may no longer make this truck in that kind of caliber, I guess, and the other one didn't know when they could have the parts to produce it. So certainly puts a strain on the market for trucks of this nature, which are very common in the work world. So we're left with one quote, which came in pretty well exactly what we expected for a price. So it's well within budget, and we'll be able to outfit it with a dump body and a hoist within the budget close.
So we're dumping a 16-year-old end of the life for salvage parts, and purchasing this was within our budget.
That's great.
Are any questions, Councilor Abbott? Director Grant, Councilor Gidney?
It says that you're disposed of it through parks. So what's the procedure there? Is it does it go to tender? Is it advertised rather? Like what's the procedure there, and how long does that usually take?
So currently we have two other trucks that would be this body and engine style. Mm-hmm. So we'll save this truck for things like the tires, the motor, the transmission. It may still have some life that we can swap from one to the other.
Right.
We've gone out and tried to sell them for salvage and got, you know, nickels to what it would have been worth to retain them ourselves. So our experience been the last couple of years just to retain them. Right. Use what we can off those trucks, and we've certainly saved money from buying parts from salvage yards ourselves in the long run.
So basically that's going to be
kept in the house for parts.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Councilor Fancy?
I'd like to see you look at my... Anyway, I just wanted to ask too, is this the exact truck you need? I'm thinking you could only get one quote because that's the only one that we could get that kind of vehicle. Was there any option of going to another truck that they could have got three quotes on and maybe get a cheaper price? Is this what you need?
No, this is the piece of equipment that we need for the job we're proposed to use it for. So it's basically continue on with what we do right now and just a truck that will fit our needs exactly.
Okay.
Any other questions? If not, I'll ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? 6.2, regarding the purchase of a replacement truck. There is a motion, Councilor Hawks.
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the purchase of a 2009 GMC Top Pick from Nova Freightliner at a price of $60,000 plus HST.
And that's seconded by Councilor Brown. Director Grant.
So this was proposed through the budget in the winter. We've been looking ever since, knowing that it was going to be difficult to source this piece of equipment. What we found, it was asked, I guess, earlier, was a brand new truck of this nature would start at $240,000. Prior to being equipped. So we could be looking at close to $300,000 in today's market for a brand new truck. What we found is well within our budget. It's 12 years old. It's a good solid truck. We can drive it tomorrow. It needs a few little odds and ends done to it to bring it up to our standard, I guess. But removing from service a 32-year-old vehicle that we can no longer source parts for, it's totally end of life, brake parts. fairly keep it on the road. So we will retain the old truck because we have a body that we can use off of. We have tires and wheels that we can use on the other trucks, the telescope for the heist and stuff like that. The same kind of deal as the half-ton truck. We can use it better ourselves than to give it away to somebody else to use for their own purpose.
Any questions of Director Grant? If not, I'll ask for the question. All those in favor? Passed. Ad hoc noise bylaw committee, as you recall, we had one vacancy, and last council meeting, which was the second Tuesday of August, we did not make a motion to bring this forward because of the requirement to give a few days notice. However, I believe councilors were all aware of this, hence it is in the recommendation, as this is not new to councilors. There is a motion that is in the packet. Someone like to make that? Councilor Charlton?
I move that Council of Region of Queens Municipality appoint Sue Beaumont Rutterham to the Ad Hoc Noise Bylaw Committee to represent Electoral District 1.
Seconded by Councilor Brown. Are there any questions regarding this appointment? Councilor Gidney?
This was discussed in our last council meeting.
Because I
do not recall.
It wasn't discussed in the meeting, though Councilor Charlton had wished to add this appointment. I believe she had circulated an email regarding this, or she hadn't. She discussed it with myself, Deputy Mayor Muse, and several other councilors, but it was decided because it was just 2 days before that we couldn't put this motion within here. So therefore, it wasn't discussed actually in the meeting, but I believe the majority of councilors were aware of this name coming forward. Any other questions? If not, I'll ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? 6.4 deals with the Queens Municipal Accessibility Plan. As you will recall, in April, our accessibility coordinator, Ms. Johnston, presented this in draft form. For those in our audience and in our viewing audience, several years ago, the provincial government of Nova Scotia enacted an Accessibility Act in which it stated that municipalities must have an accessibility plan, which is to be updated or reviewed every 3 years. The date to have those plans approved into the province was extended by the province until next year, 2022, due to COVID. However, our accessibility coordinator, Ms. Johnston, continued to work with her committee through Zoom meetings and many other venues to have this accessibility plan in place. So we are on time with the former deadline and continue to move forward. I do not believe there's anything new within this plan. There's a motion which needs to be made. If someone would still make that motion. Councilor Romero.
I move that Council of Region of Queens Municipality adopt Queens Municipal Accessibility Plan dated August 27th, 2021.
And seconded by Councilor Gidney. Ms. Johnson, would you like to make any further comments?
I feel like we went through it quite thoroughly back in April. There have been no changes. There really was not much public feedback, unfortunately. I mean, I was pushing it through organizations, individuals. Of course, it's been online. Unless there are any questions, I'm not going to go through it again.
So are there any questions regarding this report? Councillor Fancy.
Yes, at Queen's Place and Mirror Center. I haven't been over there for a while, especially with everything as it is. We had looked at one time because of people walking up and down to get to the seats. of maybe having handrails on the outside or one row down so people could get down and then cross over and get into that. I didn't see that. I see the post, but I couldn't seem to see that this was going to be a rail down to the, maybe I'm reading it wrong, but just asking the question.
Yes, that has been discussed a fair bit. It is recognized that people do need something to balance on. So we've looked at a few designs. It's gone into a future grant, and it should be in number two of the specific recommendations towards the back when I give details of each site.
Right.
I believe it should be in there.
It says add accessible aisles.
It does say install handrail posts at some meter.
Yeah, but that's posts. It doesn't mean the railing up. So I didn't.
Right.
Yeah, that's what
so,
I'm just.
Well, I'll tell you the building code and in terms of the numbers of people that you have moving on the path.
Right.
It's not actually wide enough to divide in two with a long, I mean, that will kind of break your movement, right?
Okay.
So in any stadium, unless it's super wide, they don't have very long rails. They will have either shortened rails, but again, our width is not very wide right there.
Sure.
So what I have seen are, maybe it's like a P or something near
right.
a seat that instead of leaning on the person in the chair, I have a rail.
Yeah, it's always been a fear to me, somebody walking down the steps, if they misstep, they're going all the way.
Right, so we are looking at that, and it has been put into a grant. It's definitely on the list.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions or comments? Councilor Brown?
I see that the province hasn't finalized their rules and regulations, what it's going to be. Do you foresee any major changes coming?
So what I have seen through the Accessibility Directorate as the umbrella,
right.
and we have the six categories, they have standard development committees per category, and the built environment was one of the first ones that was underway, and those have gone through the process. Those recommendations have gone through the public. The second vetting is now at the Ministry of Justice, or the Department of Justice, to be approved.
Okay.
And they look pretty good. Education came next, employment is underway, so each category is taking time. It's the 2030 timeline.
Right.
But the built standards are looking good and should be approved soon.
Okay. You don't foresee any major changes that we, we're committing to something now and.
Oh, I see what you mean. I'm
yeah.
sorry. We do know what those are.
Okay.
We are working with those in mind.
Okay.
And it's pretty much CSA is the Canadian standard, and even the Nova Scotia Building Code has been improved over the years. So it's not to say it will be a surprise.
No, okay.
Right, we're working with that in mind.
Okay, thanks.
Any other comments or questions? I believe your committee has done an excellent job on this, and I know council commends them, and you would just pass that along to them. Not, we'll ask for the question on the motion. All those in favor? Contrary? Pass. Yep. 6.5, Municipal Heritage Designation for the North Queens Heritage House. And I suspect that Councillor Hawks would like to make that recommendation.
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipalities serve notice a recommendation upon the owners of the property identified as BID number 701511147 and located at 25 West Caledonia Road in Caledonia regarding the registration of the property known as the Milton Douglas House in the municipal registry of Heritage Province, and that the hearing to be scheduled for October 26, 2021 at 6 p.m. in the council chambers of the Municipal Administration Building, 249 West White Point Road in Liverpool, to provide an opportunity for the property owners to make comment on the proposed designation.
Seconded by Councilor Fancy. Director McLeod.
Yes, the North Queens Heritage Society is the current owner of the property in question, and they had made application to have the what is now the North Queens Heritage Heritage Museum, designated as a municipal heritage property. The property was constructed circa 1854 by Milton Douglas, whose father was one of the original residents in the North Queens area, and land was originally granted to him back in 1825. So the structure itself is certainly typical of those that were constructed during that era, but when discussing the application with the region's Heritage Advisory Committee, it was felt that the heritage designation is probably more appropriate from the, I guess, the importance that the Douglas family has played in the North Queens area over the years. They're certainly a well-known family, business owners, and employers within the community for very many years. So under the Heritage Property Act, there's a number of categories which property can be registered for a heritage designation. One of them being architecture, another being a person, place, or event that was associated with the property. So when discussed with the Heritage Advisory, it's felt that there was more significant contribution based on the family history within the community. So the Heritage Property Act sets out the process whereby properties are designated. The first is actually a serving notice of recommendation upon the owners of the property. In this case, actually owners are the ones that made application, but that's not necessarily always the case. So the Act sets out that the owners have to be provided an opportunity to come before council and make comment on the designation. So this is the first step in the process of formal municipal designation. So if council approves this motion today, notice will be served, and the hearing will be scheduled for October,
mm-hmm.
October 26th. So.
Any questions?
Sorry. Mike, what does that give them? Just for, you know, just a, like more of a clarification, if they get this, what would that give them? For grants and such as?
It certainly opens up the door for provincial. Every year the province allocates a certain amount of money that can be used for upgrades to heritage properties, heritage restoration advice. There's a number of categories that they can apply for provincial funding. So the amount of money that the province allocates it's not overly significant. I think it's more of a prestige thing than the actual monetary value that they get out of the provincial funding and things like that. So just being that, having that recognition is good. Now, certainly having a designation does place restrictions on properties as to what they can do as far as renovations or alterations to the property, but for many that certainly outweighs the destination outweighs the challenges around alterations.
Dr. McLeod, when you noted that it doesn't have to be an owner that applies for a municipal heritage designation, therefore, if there was any property and another body wanted to see it, that's why the owners have the ability to come and speak.
Correct.
Should they not want their property declared,
exactly,
and someone else wants it declared,
yep,
they have the opportunity to prevent that.
That's correct.
But yet an owner could actually own a property and speak against it and yet have a council approve it.
I guess there's in this case there's the applicant is the owner, so obviously they're not going to come and take it.
I don't mean in this case. I mean in just in another case, for example.
Well, that's right. If there's a property that has a significant historic value I guess council feels is worthy of registration. There's certainly a process. If council serves notice of recommendation for designation. There's a certain timeframe, and the owner comes forward and says, well, no, I don't want it designated. There's a process, it's a process that has to be followed in a timeframe whereby the municipality and the owners of the property try to work out that potential designation. There's, it's all set out in the act as that process.
I just found it interesting that
yeah.
someone other than the owner could request.
And we've never in my time here had anybody other than the owners of the property make applications.
Okay, so we'll ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? Pass. 6.6 deals with the rezoning in East Port LaBerre. There is a recommendation within the package. Councilor Romero.
I move that Council of Region of Queens Municipality give notice of its intention to amend the land use bylaw to rezone PID number 70275185 from fishing and marine M3 to mixed coastal residential R6, and that a public hearing be held on October 12, 2021 at 9 a.m. in Council Chambers of the Municipality Administration Building, 249 White Point Road in Liverpool.
And that is seconded by Deputy Mayor Hughes. Director McLeod.
Yes, the property of 1428 East Port LaBerre Road has made application to rezone his property, which is currently zoned fishing and marine M3 to the mixed-use coastal residential R6. Originally, this parcel was part of a larger piece that was owned by Sandy and Sun Fisheries Limited. This piece was the subject parcel was subdivided back in 2019 with the intent of the owner to erect a new residential dwelling on the property. So currently it's zoned as fishing marine M3, and the municipal planning strategy also designates this parcel as industrial M under policy and planning strategy. So the proposed use of the property as residential does not meet the list of permitted uses for the fishing and marine M3 zone. So in order for them to construct a dwelling on the property, then a rezoning is necessary, or is necessary. The municipal planning strategy does contain policy where, because it's designated as industrial as a general future land use, the surrounding properties are designated as residential under future land use. So council has policy whereby amendments are not required to the municipal planning strategy where a parcel with one designation abuts another. So where this piece abuts a residential designation, we just have to do a rezoning as opposed to amending both the planning strategy. That saves one step in the process, and the amendments do not have to go to the province for approval. So. The planning strategy as well contains policy that council needs to consider when looking at amendments to the planning strategy and rezoning, and that's policy 12.5.2. Those items for consideration are included in the staff report. Planning Advisory Committee met on September 7th, and were of the opinion that that this rezoning or amendment was a reasonable request, and were supportive of the rezoning to our R6 zone. So,
okay. Are there any questions of Director McLeod?
When I look at the lot plan on Appendix B, it looks like on a flag lot with the section coming up to Old Port Mattoon or Old Port LaBerre Road, East Old Port LaBerre Road. There's a lot of wells and things in there. Would that be the area they'd be looking at for access, or would they be coming in from the Wharf Road?
I believe there's an existing driveway that comes off the main Fortin Bay Road, but there's actually frontage on the main East Fortin Bay Road, but also on the Wharf Road as well. So I'm not sure where they intend to come in off, but I know there's driveways coming in from
okay.
that.
Any other questions? Great to see a young person from their community constructing a new home within their community. If not, I'll ask for the question. All those in favor? Passed. And the last item, and the SENA Director of Corporate Services. There is a motion within the package. Someone would like to make that. Councillor Charlton.
I move that council grant a 4% cost of living increase for all non-union employees, excluding Hillsview Acres, effective October 1st, 2021.
Seconded by Councillor Cox. Ms. Vino, would you like to explain the purpose of this?
Certainly. So each year, the Consumer Price Index is looked to for direction on any increase that's provided for cost of living to staff. And so I look back in the number of years to make sure that I was taking the correct number and that it was a consistent practice. And it also it seems reasonable. Now last year, the CPI did not increase, it went down by 0.5%. So council voted not to increase any staff salaries or salary ranges. So last year there was no increase. There were, however, increases for unionized employees that fall under the collective agreement of 2%. Mm-hmm. And so when the salaried individuals, there's always a 2% increase built into the budget. So there was a 2% increase built into the budget last year and this year. So last year, because staff weren't awarded that 2% fell to our surplus. And if you remember at the end of the year, there was an $800,000 surplus at the end that we moved to the special operating reserve. So that's where that money is now sitting. So this year there's a 2% increase built into the budget. And so the recommendation that I have here is that we meet somewhere between the CPI for Canada, which is 3.7%, and the CPI for Nova Scotia, which is 4.6%. In the past, the Nova Scotian CPI has always been used, but the recommendation I put forward was at 4% because it meets somewhere in the middle between both. And you'll see in budget impacts, the increase of 4%, which is 2% over budget, considers the difference, as I mentioned, between the two CPI increases. And it's an estimated $26,000 for this fiscal year, will be $52,000 annually. So that $26,000 that it wasn't awarded, as I said last year, would have dropped to the surplus. So this basically 4% brings all non-union salaried individuals in line with what would have been awarded to the employees under the collective agreements.
Any questions? Councillor Fancy.
Yes, Joanna, I love the detail you give.
Oh.
There's no question that you've got so much detail to it. And it's like you said last year, I think it was minus 0.5 or something.
Yeah.
So basically what we're saying is that if they would have got 2% last year and 2% this year, that would be a 2% across the board,
yeah,
rather than getting zero and then somebody getting a 4%. So then when the
right.
public sees 4%, they
right.
have to remember what they didn't get last year.
And Councillor Fancy, your point's very valid. I mean, because I come from industry and I come from outside of the government world, the messaging around that's gonna be extremely important. Because I was not aware that the staff of the municipal unit did not get any cost of living increase last year. So if there's a public statement regarding this cost of living increase, I think the messaging is gonna be really important. So our residents understand that this is just catch up because last year it was not awarded.
Councillor Brown, did you have your hand up?
Yes, I did. I'm curious in the recommendation why we're excluding the non-unionized staff of Hillsview Acres.
They're funded under the Department of Health and Wellness, Councillor Brown.
Okay.
So they get their, they have their own pay scales, and they're, because if we give them a rate, cost of living adjustment, we, it's out of our genes. I wanna make sure that whatever we do is balanced off by what the Department of Health and Wellness provides us for funding.
Okay, that makes perfect sense, thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Not anyone to ask for the question, all those in favor? Contrary? Unanimous. So now we move into the discussion part of our agenda. So the first item is request for a memorial bench at Privateer Park. And as you can see within the agenda, we recently did one of these for the late Carla Culp. Friends wish to have a memorial bench, and it, that bench is now nicely placed at Beach Meadows Beach. And the cost is, the total cost of the installment is borne by the applicant. So the cement pad and everything which is there. As we discuss this, one thing we may want to think about as we move further, because these are becoming popular, especially in the deaths of younger citizens. So as we move forward, I think a point of discussion which we may want to raise is, do, by doing this, would this cast a look of a site of grieving within our parks? Perhaps not this year, but in 10 or 20 years, we'll someday, we'll have more memorial benches in parks. It's just things we should think about as we move forward. So I'll open this, and as you can see, there's no budget impact, but I will open this up for discussion. Thoughts and comments? Councillor Charlton?
I think this is a wonderful idea in a way to honor someone. When you look around at a lot of our parks, there's, you know, you get picnic tables and things like that. There, I don't think there's an abundance of seating in certain areas. I think this is a very tasteful way to honor someone who was so vibrant in our community. So I think this is a wonderful idea, personally.
Councillor Fancy.
We've had other people who've made this application before that never ever got the funding together, and we said that yes, we would agree to it. But I think maybe one thing we need to look at is always the location where they're going to be, because if somebody might say, I want here or here, and then all of a sudden we're going to say that the location comes along with the memorial park, memorial bench, to make sure we don't just put it in a spot that we, maybe not a good spot, a good location, maybe a different location, maybe better. We should be open to coming back on that part of it, I believe.
Councillor Brown?
I like the idea of having these, and like Councillor Fancy said, you know, if we get too many of them and they're not sited appropriately, then we can have kind of an ad hoc placement of them. And it could limit our future development of a park or something we want to put in without moving these. Maybe something to look forward to in our planning process is a memorial walkway, which a lot of places have done, where they put plaques in the ground as part of a walkway, so it doesn't become such a visible place. You know, if this becomes something that a lot of people want to do, do we want 15, 10, you know, 10, 15, 20 benches in one park, or do we want a walkway? So, but I think at this point, I'm in favor of it.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I think they should be, you should have to have pretty well all the same, right? To have a mismatch of this one, I want this kind, and I want this kind, really wouldn't work.
Currently, this bench will be placed in either Privateer Park or another park. From what I hear, the majority of you are in favor. So as you look at your three motions that you can make. Counselor Charlton?
I move that this issue be referred to the next council meeting for a recommendation.
And do we need a seconder on that?
Yes.
And it's seconded by Counselor Romero. So this will come forward at our next council meeting as a recommendation that the bench be placed. And do we need the site of the park, or will that be determined between the applicant? Because I know the in the letter or in the email that I received, it clearly states alternatively we will discuss another options you and your staff may suggest. The choice is at Privateer Park facing the water. So that gives plenty of room down there. And I believe, Director Grant, you worked with, on the last, with the installation, you'd be working again with this person. So, so on the motion that's been made to refer this to the next council meeting for recommendation, I'll ask that question. All those in favor? Contrary? Pass. So this will come before us next council as a recommendation. A road naming Edith's Point Road. Councilor, Director McLeod.
Yes, the planning department has received an application to name an existing driveway off Peters Point Road to Edith's Point Road. The existing driveway provides access to two dwellings off of the driveway, and there's potential for, I guess, further development within the subject property. So the region does have a policy respecting the naming and renaming of private roads, whereby a petition of 70% of the properties that abut proposed roads sign the petition in support. In this case, the road is totally enclosed or within the applicant's property, so it is in compliance with the naming of roads policy. So the planning department has looked at the name, and there's no similar or duplicate road names within the existing roads within Queens County. So the name is suitable. The first name choice is suitable for approval. So council is within policy and consideration of this application.
Good. Any questions? Discussion?
I see that the driveway as it stands now runs down through PID number 702-18805 and looks like it pretty much encloses that whole property. Would that, once it becomes a named road, does that preclude any development on that particular piece of property?
I think there's still, that parcel is owned by the applicant, Mr. Kovacs, as well, so there is still, I guess, the rivers portion of that property that would be potentially for development, but that would certainly be up to the property owners. It's an existing driveway, so it's not something that's going to be newly created.
Right.
So
and as a new road, do we have any standards that would make the road, you know, have to bring that up to a standard? From a driveway?
No, but it would be a private road, and essentially this is for civic addressing or 911 purposes. So typically as an unwritten policy where there's more than three dwellings on a property, we typically require a person to rename or name those roads for 911 emergency service purposes. So. There's only two now, but at some point in time, there's likely going to be more. So.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
And as you are aware, our current land use policy does not have any references for the state of private roads.
No.
But the
proposed one does.
The proposed one does have some minimal statements regarding what those private roads will be like.
Yeah, I guess as far as a separate uh, a separate property being the road, there's a minimum width, but there's no real development standards be required, so this is more from a civic addressing perspective.
So how do you wish to proceed on this item? Counselor Brown?
I move that this issue be referred to the next council meeting for a recommendation.
And that's seconded by Counselor Charlton, so we'll vote on that. All those in favor? Contrary? 7.3, cost sharing of J-class roads. Always an interesting discussion. As you look at the list of all the J-class roads in the county, that we have the ability to pay $150,000 per kilometer for. Director Grant, would you like to come be part of this discussion? Can't hide back there. So as many people are new around the table, would you explain J-class roads and why we are invited to help pay for half the cost of paving them?
Sure, and likewise, I'll let the CAO step in if I say anything that's incorrect, because I'm likewise new. So J-class roads are those that were turned over, I guess, from the town to the province at the time, or the municipality, sorry, to the province, and maintenance continues forward on a cost share basis. So we allow somewhere in the area of a couple $1,000 a kilometer per kilometer road for maintenance. But the cost sharing, the paving to upgrade those roads comes back to us on a cost sharing basis. So, any more elaboration than that?
You wish to elaborate further, CAO McNeil?
Just way back in the early 90s, there was a service exchange that took place. Municipalities used to be responsible for community services and some other services, and there was an exchange that took place where the municipality took over responsibility, or some municipalities took over responsibility for paying for some provincial roads in exchange for the province taking over some things like community services. So at the end, it was supposed to be a net zero. And at the end of it, the municipality was out based on the amount of deficit we had by them taking over certain services like community services. We had to make up, and they give us a certain allocation of roads. So most rural municipalities in the province have an allocation of roads, and it's all different. And it's based on this formula from way back in the early 90s. It had nothing to do with all the J-class roads or certain J-class roads. It was simply a math calculation or an accounting calculation. And so we've had these number of roads, and so it started out at $3,500 a kilometer. Now we're at about $5,500 or $6,000 a kilometer we pay the province every year for maintaining these. We have no control over them, no responsibility for them. It's simply we write a check to the province once a year or four times a year as our contribution towards that 1994 service exchange agreement. But what they do is they do offer that the municipality wants to help pay for provincial roads, that we can cost share, they will cost share potentially on any of the ones that are on the list. And as it mentions in here, the cost now for strictly repaving of a road, according to today's standards with ditching and everything, is about $300,000. So you'll see the list of roads that's there, and you see the length of them. So you can do the calculation as to what the cost would be to do that, and then you divide it by two to determine what our cost sharing would be. In the past, council has only taken up the opportunity on two occasions, as you see in the report, both related to schools and fixing up the road right in front of schools where the bus traffic was heavy. So the list is there. As it mentions in the report, the budget, the provincial budget is only $1 million. So if you think about $1 million with all the municipalities in the province, doesn't go very far, especially if you're in Halifax or Cape Breton. Something like Kings County gets 30% of it every year, pretty much right off the top. So there's not much money left. So our allocation typically has been $20,000 or $25,000, is typically what we've received. Doesn't mean we wouldn't get more if other people don't apply, but if there are lots of people that do apply, then obviously the amount of funding that's available for municipalities is very small. So that's the quick explanation. It's not a simple process. It's not a not a clear-cut thing. It's an old agreement from back in 94, 95, I think it was. The list of roads has no relevance. It's just a list of roads that the province
paid up in order to get us to that number that we owe them in order to match up the net zero costing, that fund costing generation.
So discussion. Anyone have an appetite for this? Councilor Trumbull?
So if we indicate that we would like to do a road or a few roads here, then we'll just build that into our 2022-23 budget process?
That would be correct.
Okay.
And depending on when we find out whether we're approved or not, we may not know at budget time, so we may have to budget for it. And as it says in the report, the roads right now are cost shared. Liverpool roads are paid for 75% by Liverpool residents and 25% by the general rate. So generally Liverpool residents are paying about 83% of those roads, whereas people outside Liverpool pay about 17%. And so if you're going to do any substantial road work, then I would suggest that budget time not be an area rate for that particular community in order to be fair to Liverpool residents. The other couple were schools, they were a special anomaly, so we didn't do that. But in some of these instances, if it's not relevant to a particular place, I would suggest that would be the staff recommendation would be an area rate for that community to do that.
But not necessarily.
Not necessarily, but that would be
right.
Unfair to Liverpool if you charge them for their road 83% and somebody else gets their road paid for free.
Off the general tax.
Off the general tax, which Liverpool pays for again. So.
And I'm quite familiar with pretty well all these roads in this county, and you can't pick out one of them that's any worse than another. All these roads need paving pretty well. They're all in bad shape. I figured it'd be about $10 million to pay them off. So I guess the point is, how would one ever pick and choose a road considering the state of these roads that are provincially owned? Councilor Fancy?
Yes, the only part of it is, I know we can say these things, but some of our roads are in terrible, terrible shape, and we patch them and patch them and patch them, and so sometimes along the way we need to go forward somewhat and to try to, I guess, repair or fix some of these roads. The one that stands out to me, which I brought up at our council when we first came in, was Oliver Street to me, and it's only a 0.14, which would be, it would be probably around $30,000-$40,000 to do. That would be, so then you say 40,000 divided by two would be about $20,000. That pick something that we can at least go forward with and try to get, because we just ignore these roads, they're going to get worse. So we got to put something back into the community. And I remember last year when they did the one up by the school, it was supposed to come back as $20,000 or $30,000 or something like that, and it came back lower. They didn't charge as much as they said they were going to charge. So I'm requesting for Oliver Street, which is a very short street, which is it's just terrible. They patched it up three times this year. It's just got great clumps in it. So you know, if we don't do something, we're going to just, you know, we got to do something. That's my request on a very short one.
Councilor Charlton?
Is there anyone else that wanted to go for me?
No one else had their hand up at this point in time?
Okay. I would also like to request from Pleasant Avenue to the Shore Road, which goes past, goes by the high school, go past the daycare. That road is in bad shape as well. And with the past requests of granting these around school locations, that's a heavy traffic area right beside the high school and Queens Daycare, and it desperately needs some TLC as well. It's 0.3 kilometers.
Which is the road number there, the Q number on the first column?
The first one, 404.
404 on the rock. Oh, the very first one.
Other comments?
I got more just a question this time, because I noticed that the J-class is for Glenwood Street, and then there's a J-class for for Pleasant Avenue, which goes across, but there's none for Forest Street, so I don't know how that triangle doesn't, the square doesn't work. There's, I don't see Forest Street on there, maybe I missed it, so how come that's not a J class? It's, if the one going up and the one going across is both, then why isn't the one coming down?
Forest Street is on there.
Is it? Did I miss it?
717.
It's the very last one on the list, Jeff.
Oh. Okay. I missed it.
You did.
I did, okay.
Other comments? Council Brown?
I mean, this whole item came up in our budget discussions, and we kind of passed on it then of not doing these roads, so if we at this point decide we're gonna fix some of these roads, it'll come out of, have to come out of reserves because it'll be an unbudgeted item, which I find a little bit concerning, but I think I agree with Councillor Fancy that we have to start moving forward on some of these roads, but at this point I would rather defer it to next budget so that we can allow for it in the budget.
It will be next budget.
Okay.
They're just asking for the list now, and they'll decide sometime in February, March, or April, probably.
Oh, so it's that far ahead, okay.
It's that far away.
Yeah. Nothing to do tomorrow.
No, I'm not.
Other comments before I recognize Councillor Charlton again? This is the reason we have this, is for discussion. So the discussion point is, do you as a councillor, are there roads? Do you feel that we should be cost-sharing provincial roads? And if so, which ones? Or do you feel we should not? Councillor Charlton.
Just wondering what our estimated cost is right now with Jack's request of Oliver Street and the street that I asked for, overestimated.
Well, 300,000 kilometers, so your request is 0.3.
$100,000.
1.4, so you're at 45%. So what's that give you? 150.
80,000.
That number is
80,000. Close to a cent on the tax rate.
Yeah, so it'd be a cent if you put it on the general rate, but if you put it on the area rate like Liverpool, then it would be obviously more than that.
So it's important that we hear your opinions now.
At the end of the day, so if we, this would be an application going forward. We don't know if we get it approved. Well, we should know before budget time. And we don't have all the budget things laid out, obviously. But if we have, I don't even want to say something breaks, but if we have something that's very pressing and we can't, council's not comfortable with making this, with doing this because it would create a tax increase that people aren't comfortable with, and we just ask it. But if we don't apply, we don't know if we will get the approval.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're going to be another year into Jack's comment, and this might be something that when we sit down and do our strategic planning, maybe council will decide that they want to spend X amount per year on J-class roads. But to just ax it off right now, I think, is not the right choice, I believe, because I think we should just put the application in and then at budget time, see where we're at.
If we apply and get approved for it, are we obligated to it?
No, but if you do and you turn it down,
mm-hmm.
I would suggest you don't apply ever again because they will not look kindly upon us for them going through the process, reviewing it, scrutinizing, prioritizing and awarding us, and then we turn it down. That would look very bad.
I'd like to make a motion that this issue be deferred to the next council meeting for further discussion to give councillors a chance, more of a chance to look around their districts to see if there's any other roads that we feel are high priority, and then we can discuss a total cost to come up with, see what our appetite is when everybody has a look at their own districts.
So you are going to move that you refer this
to the next council meeting.
You defer it to the next council meeting.
For more discussion, yeah.
For more discussion. Is there a seconder for that? Seconded by Councillor Amaro. Any questions
as we go through these discussions, of course, it's gonna be new to us, so what we need to do is have a recommendation going forward, don't we?
No, it's simply that we're moving that this be, did you say deferred?
To the next council meeting, for more discussion.
To the next council meeting, so what he's saying is, he's not making a motion stating that we apply for J-class funding for the road that you suggested and the road that Councilor Charlton suggested. He has made the motion that the entire matter be simply deferred to next council meeting. So at next council meeting, we would again have this discussion. Other councilors may have roads in their district which they wish to offer up. Some councilors may decide not at all, but the whole matter is being deferred again. So this will come back just like this again for discussion, at which at that point a motion will be made to either defer it again, or from that discussion will come a direct motion recommending either specific words or a no thank you to the province. Councilor Charlton?
When does the application period close? Are we going to miss that if we defer?
Is there a date?
I think it's October 31st.
Yeah. So our next council meeting is the end of September, which is the 28th. So if there was a motion made at that point in time regarding specific roads or not at all, then that would come forward at the Tuesday, October 12th meeting as a motion, as a recommendation.
Is that enough time from a staff
It would be
respect?
The 12th, and the deadline's not till the end of October. Any discussion on the motion to defer this entire matter to the next council meeting? Councilor Fancy?
My only concern is that if we can be looking at, I guess, and maybe this goes on to the next discussion, but if we're looking at doing a couple this year, and then some other people from other districts find something in their area that they need to do next year, we can continue on that path. But if we come back here with six people and we get up to $300,000, we're going to vote it down because it's going to be too heavy for us to handle. So I don't know if going forward with discussion to find more roads is going to be a good idea or not, or we go forward with a couple roads we feel are good for this time, and then maybe it goes into other areas next time. But I think we have to do something each year onto some of the roads.
Thank you for your comments. However, the motion is to defer this to the next council meeting. Any questions on the motion to defer? Councilor Charlton?
I think with the request before about committee of the whole and just more time to digest things, I think that Councilor Brown's request for that is fair, and I will support that.
Any other questions on the motion to defer? If not, I'll ask for question on the motion to defer. All those in favor of deferring this to the next council meeting? Contrary? Passed. Accessibility committee application. So as we are aware, there is a opening on the Queen's Accessibility Advisory Committee. So this is a discussion on, we do have an applicant who has applied, and this is new information to all of us. Therefore, for this reason, is placed in as a recommendation. So is there any discussion? Are you in favor of moving this to next council meeting as a recommendation, Councilor Gidney?
This is the part I don't understand. This is not the same as 6.3.
6.3, the majority of councilors had been aware of, or several councilors were aware of that person's application to the committee. Because I believe Councilor Charlton had spoke and had made people aware that name was put forward, but because of procedural issues, we did Councilor Charlton didn't add it as an item to the last council meeting. This matter, this person's name is completely new to everyone, to the majority of people on this council. There, I mean, and this is just one of the, this probably will not happen again. However, appointments to committees will always come through this process from here on forward.
I still don't see, I apologize.
Yeah, but the first one, so we've,
difference here.
But we've already gone through the first one and we've moved and that one has been done, but so now we're dealing with this one. So this would come forward as a motion to recommend to the next council meeting.
I'm sorry, but my point is, why is this not a recommendation? And I understand you just explained it, but was nothing done at council, everything was done outside. So the same protocol, we could have discussed this some other time, but I don't understand why this is different.
And maybe we erred on assuming that the majority of people, I know the councilor was aware of the appointment coming from his district to the, and maybe we made an error on that. But from this point forward, all applications for people to sit on committees is going to come forward as a discussion item first. So perhaps the first one should have been under here.
Okay, no, thank you.
But from here on forward, all, because sitting on my desk is an application for a person to sit on the internal audit committee. That's going to come forward at our next council meeting as a discussion item. Okay? Does that help you?
Yes, very much so. Thank you.
So how do you wish to deal with this? Do you wish to refer it, defer it, or make a motion, Councilor Charlton?
Janine Stewart would be a great addition to this committee. I know Janine, and I think her perspective would be welcome to this committee. Therefore, I'd like to move that this issue be referred to the next council meeting for a recommendation to add her to the committee.
Thank you. Seconded by Councilor Brown. Any discussion on that matter? All those in favor? Thank you. And I believe that takes us to the end of this. I believe this process is going to work well. I think as a body of council, you've developed a good system. I mean, we did have the one wrinkle, but from this forward, day forward, Councilor Gainey, all committee recommendations come forward as discussion first, and then recommendation. Councilor?
So we won't have any areas for reports?
Any reports will come under discussion.
Okay.
So I need a motion to move in camera. Moved by Councilor Mero, seconded by Councilor Charlton, that we move